this evening a break for Israel, and I've got quite some notes here, believing God to be able to finish quickly, and then we can take some time to pray. I've been reading from any book except the Bible. I was praying, listening to the Lord, and early this morning, and asking God, give me direction for this prayer service this evening. So then I brought some ABCs of why we pray for Israel. Some of the reasons why we pray for Israel as the church, the body of Christ. Got several points. You can have them, and really they can be such a blessing to you. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, one of the reasons we pray for Israel is through Abraham we have received the blessing of God. Through Abraham we have received the blessing of God. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, it says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. Look at what follows, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And the other version says, all the families, like the Amplifier says, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Are we a nation? Yes, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So one of the reasons is through Abraham we have received the blessing of God. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, it says, in your seed, speaking to Abraham, for sacrifice, the Bible says the angel spoke, speaking the will of God, and he said this, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So it's because one of the reasons is that through Abraham we have received the blessing of God. Therefore we do what? We pray for Israel. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, 6 to 9. So you say, what about Abraham? What has that to do with me? Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, 6 to 9. And look at this. I want it from the Amplified, please. Not the Amplified Classic, but Amplified Version. Look at it, what it says here. Okay? So one of the reasons, because through Abraham we received what? The blessing of God. Now look at this. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, as conformity to God's will and purpose, so it is with you also. I love that. As, go back, please. As conformity to God's will and purpose, so it is with you also. I want to be there every time of my life. Conformity to God's will and faith, with confidence in the power and goodness of God, who are the true sons of Abraham. Anyone living by faith? Yeah, you're a true son of Abraham. What about me? Yeah, ladies, you are a true son of Abraham. True sons of Abraham. Look at what follows, verse 8. The scripture foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith. God will justify the Gentiles by faith. Proclaim the good news. He preached the gospel. God himself preached the gospel to Abraham. He preached the gospel. He proclaimed the good news of the Savior. Come on now. So remember, the Bible says, not even the Bible says, Jesus said himself, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. That is a man of faith. A man of faith transcends through time. You can see. You are never trapped, because you can ascend in God, in Christ, and see the will of God for your life and for the purposes for your life, that which God has called you to do. Of the Savior to Abraham in advance, with this promise, say, in you, can you see that? Shall all the nations be blessed. God himself. In you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are people of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, are blessed and favored by God. and declared free of the guilt of sin and its penalty, and is placed in right standing with God, along with Abraham, the believer. Can I hear you, amen, right there? I mean, that's exciting right there. We're blessed with your Father Abraham. That's the reason we pray for Israel. Now, that's the first reason. Because of time, I'm going, this is a message you can preach for hours. But because of time, I'm going fast. Now, the second one is this. Through the God of the Hebrew, I'm calling him the God of the Hebrew, not me calling him, the Bible calls him. Through the God of the Hebrew, we have received, the God of the Hebrews, we have received salvation in the Lord Jesus. We pray, one of the reasons we pray for Israel is because through the God of the Hebrews, we have received salvation in Christ Jesus. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 13, I want you to see that God in the Bible, God himself even introducing himself as God of the Hebrews. So we have received salvation in the Lord Jesus. The one in verse Genesis 14:13, that's the time when Lot had been taken captive. There's one who had escaped and told verse 13 and told Abraham the one, the Hebrew. For he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Anah, and they were allies with Abraham. So Abraham is called what?
Abraham,
the Hebrew.
Now look at this in Exodus chapter 5, verse 3. God is speaking through Moses to Pharaoh. And he says this. So they said, the God I'm going, I don't want to go in. Let's start from verse 1. I think I still have that scripture in verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Do you see that also? He's the Lord God of Israel. He's the God of the Hebrews, and he's the Lord God of Israel. And so, why would I not pray for Israel? Because first I pray to their God. He introduced himself to a man called Abram. Abram first, and then changed his name to Abraham. So thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast for me in the wilderness. Look at verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Look at verse 3. So they said, the God of the Hebrews. The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. So he's the God of the Hebrews. Through God of the Hebrews, we have received salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that. Let's go to Exodus 7:16. Says the God of the Hebrews. God of the Hebrews. In Exodus 7:16 says, and you shall say to him, say to Pharaoh, the Lord God of the Hebrews, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, now you would not hear. So it goes on, and in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 32, David used it so much, talking about God of Israel. In fact, at some point in Isaiah 45, in verse 3, God is introducing himself to Cyrus, the king. Cyrus was a Persian. He was a Gentile. And when he shows up, he says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. I'm the God of Israel. Why then should we not pray for Israel? He's the God of Israel. I'm the God of Israel. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 22, David saw a beautiful woman called Abigail and a foolish husband called Nabal. And he got a bride right there. Are you all kept quiet? It was amazing. It's an amazing story. And Nabal is hit by a stroke and died because of his foolishness. And the next thing, Abigail becomes David's wife. And Abigail was a wealthy woman, actually, and became now David's bride. That's amazing. Man, be careful. Love the Lord. Look at this. Then he said this. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me." Next time when you find the lady that you are going to marry, say, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you to meet me." Okay. You're not sure about that? Those who want to get married. But look at this. So he calls him what? Blessed is what? The Lord God of Israel. You remember what also Elijah said, "May it be known today that I'm doing this under your commandment or under your command." And he says this, "The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Come on, let me say it this way. The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Remember, his name had been changed by God in Genesis chapter 32. So he's the God of Israel. And then this third one, so you have the first one. Why we pray, some of the reasons we pray for Israel. First is through Abraham, we have received the blessing of God. Secondly, through the God of the Hebrew, we have received salvation in the Lord Jesus. And thirdly, we honor our heritage. We honor our heritage. That's critical. We honor our heritage. In Matthew chapter 1:1, this is the first book in the New Testament. It introduces us to him. Who is he? The genealogy. Do you ever read that genealogy or you go to Matthew chapter? No, I'm not going to read this genealogy. Next. Read those genealogies. It's amazing. Read even the book of Chronicles. Read out those names and connect. If you've been reading from the book of Genesis, you start connecting the dots and you see. You see more. You understand more. You get more clarity. Now look at this. The book, that's Matthew 1:1. That's the first scripture in the New Testament. He's showing us that if we understand, we who are believers in the Messiah, who are believers in Christ, is helping us to understand this. Listen to this. You didn't come from nowhere. You didn't come from nowhere. You have a heritage. And this is your heritage. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I rest my case. You see that? The son of David. What is Matthew saying? Remember, this is a Jew. What is he saying? Remember, he's calling him the son of David. What is he saying? He's saying this is the Messiah. This is the one who had been promised to come and is here now, the son of David, and this is the son of Abraham. This is the seed of Abraham. It's so deceptive for the church to hate the Jews. It's terrible. It's despising your heritage. It's even, I wonder, of course, because of error, because of wrong teaching, and because of ignorance. But I believe it's not just because of ignorance. You know, when I got born again, I got spirit filled. There are things I knew inside of me, even if I didn't have vocabulary for them. You understand? You know, I wouldn't even think of lying. And there's that conviction inside of me. I wouldn't think of doing some things that, you know, other people would do. I wouldn't even think of that. Listen to this. I believe for any spirit-filled believer, he's really pursuing the Lord. There's no way you can say, "I don't care about that Israel and the Holy Spirit is inside of them." He'll say, no, don't say that. Believers in Christ, if you pursue to be led by the Holy Spirit, you can hear him inside of you. Listen to this. There's no one who's going to tell you the do's and don'ts. You will know. You will perceive. You will know what to do. You will know what to pursue in life. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's our heritage. In Galatians 3:29. Remember, one of the things, that point three is that we honor our heritage. Galatians 3:29 says, "And if you are Christ, are you in Christ? Then you are Abraham's who? Seed and heirs according to the promise." The God of Abraham, the God of David, the God of Jacob, Israel, is our God. Fourth, we own our heritage. Fourth, I told you I'll go a little bit fast because I've got quite some notes here, but I want us to pray. Fourth is this. It's the plan of God to save the Jews because of his covenant. We pray for Israel because it's the plan of God to save the Jews because of his covenant. Remember, Jesus came on earth as a result of Abrahamic covenant. He walked around and he said, actually, if Abraham was your father, you could have listened to me. But you have another father. He's a father of lies. His name is the devil. So my point is here, because of his covenant, it's so clear in the scriptures, it's God's will for Jews to be saved. Even the teachings of Paul is so clear about that. We see that it's God's will for the Jews to be saved. So it's so demonic for the Church of Christ to stand against the Jewish people. It's so demonic. It's ignorance, it's blindness, it's lack of revelation completely, and even not thinking about our heritage. I wonder which Messiah you have received. Because there's also another one in Tongaren. Maybe that one. But if we've received the Messiah, Yeshua, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, we ought to love the Jewish people and pray for them. And believe God for their salvation. Oh, you are loud this evening. What did they give you in the office? Oh my goodness, you were excited. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. I continue preaching. Now look at this then. So it's the plan of God to save the Jewish people. By praying for the salvation of the Jews, oh, listen to this carefully. By praying for the salvation of the Jews, we are aligning ourselves with God's plans and purposes. Do you want to know when church is off? When they are standing against Israel. To pray for the Jewish people is to align ourselves with God's plans and purposes. Look at the fig tree. Symbolically who? The Jewish people. Look at them. Look at them. Observe. Observe what is happening right now. Remember what happened in October 7? And it triggered. It's like all over now there's a buzz of wars and rumors of wars. All of a sudden, some people from Yemen started standing out. We have our furniture here. It's been in the high seas for months now. Is it months now? The second month? To the second month? We're supposed to have received our furniture for Heritage Leadership Academy before the end of December. But now they've been in the high seas there. Because of some fools calling themselves Houthis. They're youth useless, sorry. You know what I'm talking about? People who want the blood of the Jewish people. We must stand with the Jewish people. Listen to this. The world is anti. And they start asking, what about Palestinian people? They're involved in the part of the Gentiles. But listen, the firstborn is Israel. They're involved in the salvation because God's desire is to save all men. And that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. So what have we been praying? I've been praying for that Gaza Strip. Believing God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for their eyes to be opened. That's why in our prayer guide, we say this, that God may turn for good. That which was meant for evil, turn it for Israel's good. And what will happen also, that in the midst of chaos in the Middle East, that people may come to the kingdom of God. The ultimate thing is this, church, that people may know the Lord Jesus Christ and enter into eternity in Christ. To be with God forever and ever. A Jew, a Gentile, a Palestinian, it doesn't matter. God, the God of Abraham, has opened a door for all men to be saved through his son Jesus Christ. So it's to align ourselves with God's plans and purposes when you are praying for the Jewish people. In Romans 10, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God. This is Apostle Paul. He was a Jew. He said this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Who wrote this? Apostle Paul. By what? By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, this is my heart's desire for Israel, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Where did they miss it? When they don't accept Yeshua as the Son of David, as their Redeemer. That's where they miss it. But thank God many Jewish people have come to the Lord, and many, 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 many now are preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 1 to 5. And at that point, it's the plan of God to save the Jewish people because of his covenant. Remember, he told David this, my covenant, in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 89, verse 32 or 31. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has come out of my mouth. He spoke, the Son of David himself, Jesus, he says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. He's a seed of Abraham. I say then, has God cast away his people? What's the answer? Certainly Lord, not. Who's he referring to? The Jewish people. Has God cast out his people? Certainly not. For I am an Israelite. Of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Can you see that? He's saying that. I'm a Jew. So God hasn't cast out his people, because if he could have cast out his people, I persecuted the church. Saul, I persecuted the church. So if God had cast out his people, I couldn't have been saved. But the witness I have is that God hasn't cast out his people, because I'm a Jew and I'm saved and I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. You see that? Now look at this. Has God cast away his people? Certainly not. Where did you go to? Go back verse 1. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. Go back, go verse 2. God has not cast away his people whom he did what? He foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. If I die, you lose everything, God. That's the attitude. You're so oppressed and depressed, and you know, he started praying his own prayers. God, I'm the only one left. You dare not allow me to die. If I die, the whole world is sunk. I'm the only person. God told him this. And verse 4. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Hallelujah. Even so, then at this time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And we know many Jewish people were standing for the Messiah, Yeshua, Son of David. Amen. You see that point? So let me go back to those who just come. I'm speaking about some of the reasons why we pray for Israel. It's through Abraham we have received the blessing of God. Secondly, through the God of the Hebrew, we have received salvation in the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, we honor our heritage. We honor our heritage. Fourthly, it is the plan of God to save the Jews because of his covenant. Then the fifth point is this. There, coming to Christ is great riches to the church and the world. There, their coming to Christ is great riches to the church and the world. You see that? Their coming to Christ is great riches to the church and the world. We're going to see that from the scripture. What does that mean? Them coming to Christ, when they come to Christ, is great riches to the church and the world. Romans 11, stay right there from Romans 11, continue right there, in verse 11. I say then, talking about the Jews, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Look at verse 12. For if they are being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? What will it be? Life from the dead? Now look at this. They are being cast away is the reconciling of the world. What will their acceptance be but life from the dead? I believe there's so much life that we shall see as many Jews coming into the kingdom of God. We'll see so much life in the church. Listen, the rich knowledge of the inheritance, they will teach us as the church. Yeah, I see people like Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Anyone who knows Rabbi Jonathan Kahn? It's amazing when you listen to him. You know, I've watched Sid Roth for many years and seeing, you know, different ones, the Jewish people coming in and teaching the heritage of the church. Listen, the inception of the church began with the Jews believers. And we saw the power in operation. And they started going out to the Gentiles. One of the first Gentiles, you remember, is who? Huh? I can't hear you behind there. The first Gentile is who we know from the scriptures? Huh? Cornelius, so why don't you say, what's your name? What's your name behind there? So see, if you know, you know. You understand? If you know, you know. Why don't you say that? Yeah, we see that in Acts chapter 10. Now we start seeing in Gentiles coming into the kingdom of God. But look at this. The apostles of the Lord, we see Jewish people. So why would the church think that we don't need Jewish people? It's error. We need them. And I'm telling you, I believe, church, mark these words, I believe there'll be such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit as we see many Jewish people coming into the kingdom of God. I believe there'll be such glory of God in the church. I look forward to that, Lord. I'm believing this to be in my lifetime to see much of those promises. I've turned 51. I still have many years to come. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see that? Their coming is what? I say is to Christ is great riches to the church and the world. Just there. Can you see that? Can you see that scripture? Is it clear to you? Can you shout the answer back to me? All right. That's better. Now, the sixth point, I believe that there has never been a better time for them to come to the Lord in multitudes than now. I believe there's never been a better time for them to come to the Lord in multitudes than now. Why is that so? Because we are in the last of the last days. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, just about to see the Lord coming. I was reading a certain book of a certain prophet. I bought it because the Lord spoke to me something 2 years ago, and I had him speak actually the exact thing. In fact, when the Lord spoke to me, in fact, I prophesied on a Wednesday, and after I was done, you know, you prophesied and you spoke things for the first time. I never thought of it that way. And then I go back, I'm driving home, I'm thinking, God, you have to help me because I've never had anyone say that. Then I was seated, I don't know after how long I was seated, and a certain prophet started saying the same thing. And him he had gotten, he had had an open vision, and God showed him. Let me read that a little bit. Then I'll tell you why I was reading that book. But let me say here that prophecy. That was on 27th October in 2021. We were in the blue room there praying. And then I started speaking. I knelt down praying, and then when I rose up, I started hearing the Lord say these words to me. My people ought not to accept the lies of the enemy, that dark days ahead of them. No, the ant dark days. No, they aren't. Dark days are not for my people. Glorious days ahead of my people. Now listen to this. I just hear it in my heart. You want to know the future of the Israel? It's glorious. It's glorious. Listen, Hamas, through the master, the devil, their master, the devil, thought like you're going to bring down that nation? No, never. No, never, church. No, never. Let no one ever tell you, and you don't ever accept that lie, that the nation of Israel will be destroyed. No, never. No, never. Covenant is greater and stronger. So let me tell you something about that nation of Israel. There's the glory of God that is coming upon that nation. And it's coming upon the Jewish people all over the world. And their eyes will be open to see their Messiah. And when that is happening, remember they are coming to us. They come into the church to be members of the body of Christ. I believe as we see the Jewish people come to the Lord, the glory of God will be so thick in the church. And we'll see things that have never been seen before on the face of the earth. Now there is one new man. Mark those words, write them down, you'll see that happening. Days of rejoicing, days of abundance, days of my glory coming upon my people. To the world, yes, it's going to be dark, but not to my people. The veil, now this is the part, which after I said, I thought, oh Lord, I'm in big trouble now. The veil between this earthly realm into the spiritual realm is so thin, and it's becoming thinner and thinner because my people are crossing over the earthly realm into the realm of my glory and are experiencing the powers of the age to come. And as they test and see my glory, and as they test and know my glory, they want more of my glory and nothing of this natural realm. And just as it was with Enoch, Enoch experienced this and he was no more because the word of God says God took him. So now I start saying about the veil becoming thinner and thinner. You know, he prophesied. And then he started realizing, man, what did I say? Now listen to this. I think I'll take a certain route here. And it will be a blessing. Let me see if I'll find some things from this book a little bit. So when I heard him say, it's called Third Heaven Authority. My goodness, I got excited. Because for years, the Lord has spoken to me over 20 plus years, showing me and teaching me how to pray from his presence. Until some few years ago, he told me this. Now you've known how to enter into my presence. I want you to learn how to dwell in my presence. Visiting is wonderful. You know, before I got married, I used to visit Tina, you know, just go and have some time, you know, just visiting and all that. I was looking for the time to dwell. I was looking forward to the time to dwell. When we started dwelling in 16th August 2003, oh, it felt good, dwelling. You never have to say bye anymore. Wake up in the morning, open your eye, and you look up, and here she is again. Now, anyone who's been in love? Huh? Just some few, oh, Kevin and I, thank you, Kevin. We are brothers. Others don't know, probably. Hallelujah. Oh, okay, yeah, we have some few minutes here. Let's see. Let me see if I can get into. Anyone who remembers you there, 27th October, and I said the author, yeah, you remember that, Miss Ruth and few of you. That was so amazing. But Mike Thompson had an open vision. God took him into that. And then he says this. I'm saying this because I believe there's such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is coming. Listen to this. So he says, he sees Jesus, and then he says, to my surprise, he was being given an assignment by Jesus. Oh Lord. To my surprise, Jesus stood up and walked over to me with piercing eyes of pure love. He spoke these words: I'm giving you the assignment to teach third heaven authority to my people. This was the first time I had ever heard the phrase third heaven authority. Who knows that if you walk with God, He will give you the vocabulary, new vocabulary. Huh? Noah had never had an ark. God told him. What about Moses? Tabernacle. Listen, their vocabulary is available. Just for you. And that vocabulary, those vocabularies, you start receiving them, they will change the world. That's why they got Apple, they got what? Apple and all this, the things. They've been coming out. Don't you know that they've made some people wealthy? Business people? Wake up. Stop copycat. Go to the original. Okay, I thought you were going to get excited about that. There's a price to pay. Copycat is easy. You know, copy paste. You've ever done that? Copy paste? It's so easy. Yes. What are they doing? What is my neighbor doing? Or bought the children a bike. I'm also going to buy a bicycle. Copycat. Copycat. Anyway. All right, that seems like not to excite you, but I made my point. Listen, but Jesus explained what it meant. Now listen this. So he's been told that he's hearing for the first time third heaven authority, to teach third heaven authority to to God's people. This was the first time I'd ever heard the phrase third heaven authority. But Jesus explained what it meant. We are now entering into a season, he said, when the veil between this physical realm and the spiritual realm will seem to get thinner. I thought, this is my brother. We are hearing from the same master. We're in the throne room all together. We have the same wavelength. When the veil between the physical realm and the spiritual realm will seem to get thinner, believers will increasingly have more spiritual encounters. There'll be visions and dreams, and they will become more prevalent. Believers will learn what it's like to operate in the spirit and flow in heavenly things. However, this is the universal in the spiritual realm, so demonic encounters will also increase in spiritism. The occult, mind science, and religions, it will also increase in people who just open themselves up to dark things. He said, teach my children third heaven authority so they will not be deceived by seducing spirits. They need to realize who I've created them to be and what they are capable of accomplishing. There needs to be credibility among those who learn to walk in the ways of the Spirit. Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. Listen, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is coming. And you know, I was with the staff I think 2 weeks ago, and I said that it's coming, and I had like, stop saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Why don't you start saying now it's here? Come on now. You know, if you want the dog to come near to you, you don't say the dog will be coming, the dog is coming, the dog is coming. Call the dog. Simba, come over here. You understand, Simba? Simba? You know, when you're seeing the dog, you don't say again, Simba. But if you're not seeing the dog, what you start saying? Simba? Simba? Come over here. So what are we saying? The glory is here. Praise God. The time is now. The season is now. The tick-tock of God is now. The pouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes, now. Say it now again. Go ahead and say it. Now it is. Therefore, church. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I believe that there is never been a better time for them to come to the Lord in multitudes than now. In Romans 11, 25, 28. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, It's Apostle Paul writing, and by the Spirit says, you should not be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Blindness was what? In part. And so, go ahead please, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Is that it? Yeah, continue, please. In Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Listen, God's covenant does not change. When it's a covenant, that's it. It's a covenant. It does not change. I was talking to a certain mama. She's in her 90s now. She's our neighbor to home. And I said, from my community, tell me, you know, you don't speak my vernacular, so I could have told you the word that they'll use about covenant. There are families, actually, that there are no blood relationships, but they decided now to come as together as brethren. And then I asked her, she's in her 90s, been born again all the years, really many years. In fact, over Christmas, we went to see her, and I said, hey, she's light, you know, light skin. She said, oh, you look so well. She said, oh, I'm not well now. I'm just looking forward to going. I said, you are still a girl. She said, I'll beat you if you call me a girl. I said, look at your face. You are so light. She's light skin. He said, oh, no, I'm just seated here. I'm waiting to go now. And then the daughter said, oh, mama. I said, I'm going. She said, I'm going. She's been born again for all this. Their husband died in 1976. And all over the community, she's known as a righteous woman. Dada Jerusha just lived for God. Anyway, so she told me some few years ago, and those two families, they have no blood relations, but they felt like we need to have a relationship with each other. She said that they will cut blood, you know, on the wrist over here. And no. They'll cut over here near, you know, the heart area over here. Cut. And then the other one cut and it's poured. And then they'll slaughter an animal. And then that blood which is poured, they mix. And then they eat the meat and drink. And they are now blood family. Blood brothers. They will protect that family. If I say it in my vernacular, it doesn't mean anything to you. So no need of saying it. But then they'll protect each other. That was covenant. That cannot be broken. No way. That's your brother. That's your sister. The families are that way. That is binding. That is life, my life, for your life. Nothing is going to change. We'll keep that one. They did that way. Those are covenants that are made. And so, but the higher covenant is of God. I'm not saying that now you start making those covenants. You understand that. Don't tell me I'm traveling up country now to go make some covenants. No, we have a covenant with God in Christ Jesus. So look at this. He says, my covenant, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And verse 28, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Verse 29, right there. Let's go there. So look at this. I believe, there's never been a better time for them to come to the Lord in multitude than now. It is the time. The time is ripe. And in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, in the Passion Translation, why is that so? The Passion Translation says this. And when God chooses someone and graciously imparts gifts to him, they are never rescinded. Come on now. That's why you've seen people who are backslidden, they are crazy, and they are singing, they're still doing this and things like, my goodness, they sing and you feel such an anointing around them. And immediately when they leave, the things they do, you wonder what happened? Have you ever wondered? I know that brother. I know him. He curses, he sleeps around, even he smokes. But when he goes to the altar, he lifts his hands, you find that the presence of God is there. The gift is working. Listen, The gift is there. The gift will still be there. But listen, God is looking for that people who'll walk the talk. They live holy for him. And when God chooses someone and they graciously impart gifts to him, they are never rescinded. That's what it means. This is the time for their salvation. Are you getting the points? Now listen to this, the seventh one point thing coming before we pray. Praying for Israel is a divine command from God to the church. Praying for Israel is a divine command from God to the church. It's praying for Israel. It's a divine command from God to the church. In Psalm 122 verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. I want that. I want prosperity. I want to honor my heritage. I want to honor the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to honor the God of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Because of that. Because of the covenant. May I have please Psalm 89, I think it's 32 or 31. Let's okay, go to the latter part of the same. Oh, come on. Start verse. Is it that? Just a moment. Still, that's Psalm 89. I'm speaking about covenant, and I really want to emphasize on this. It's lengthy, but I'll look. Let's go to the to verse. Come on now. To verse 20. Let me see, read some few scriptures quickly, then we'll read some scripture, then we'll start praying. It says, I have found my servant David with my holy oil, I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established also, my arm shall strengthen him. And then it goes on, verse 24, but my faithfulness and mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. I will also set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Listen to this. Also, I will make him my firstborn. Who do you think that is? Yeshua. I'll make him my firstborn. But in essence, still, you can think about this. It's still Israel. You seen that? It says, the highest of the kings of the earth, my mercy I will keep for him forever. You remember that, the gifts and callings of God? My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. We know that's the King of Kings. He's the son of David. Look at verse 30. If his sons forsake my law and not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with straps. Nevertheless, you remember that Romans 11, 29 again? Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. Verse 34. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever. His throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. Hamas, Houthis, they will pass away, and all those terror groups. But let me tell you something. Let me give you a heavenly declaration. Israel shall continue standing. That's the truth. That's divine command. That's divine decree. That's divine covenant. He says, if you can remove the sun from shining, if you can remove the moon from shining at night, then you can be able to stop my covenant from working. But you cannot do that. There's only one who has power is the God of Israel. Hallelujah! You can as well shout hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now then, so it's a divine command. As we pray for the Jews coming to the Lord, let us also pray for the church. Why is that so? That we may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning the place of the Jews in the plans and purposes of God. That we may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning God's purposes for the Jewish people. Blindness will say this, God is done away with the Jews. That is a curse. That's why they're being attacked by all those terror groups. No, that's error. So listen to this. We need our eyes to be open as the church. What about the entire body of Christ when we gather together and our desire and our praise for the Jewish people to come into the kingdom of God? Don't you know that there'll be such a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and see many Jewish people coming into the kingdom of God? And what is going to happen? The glory of God is going to be so evident in the church. I believe prosperity than anything we've ever known before. They've never been known a better people in business than the Jewish people and in technology and all those things. Probably the church was hit by poverty because of refusing to bless the Jewish people. Read the history of the church. Till people, I heard Pastor Kala say, so I think it's during the awakening, what do you call it, that time in the 70s, the renewal. But the problem of the Holy Spirit, I think that's the 70s, that believers will be slain in the Holy Ghost, and they are praying that the power of God has come, and they're slain in the Holy Ghost and rolling on the floor, and really the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But when they wake up, you don't find any coin or any money on the floor. They are broke. They have nothing. I think so. Poverty came in when the church started attacking the Jewish people. I've never said that before. Because you see, you'll be blessed. But if you're attacking the Jewish people, what blessing? The God of Abraham, who blessed Abraham in all things, he's the one who's supposed to be blessing us, and then we are saying no to him or to his people. What will happen? Poverty. Let's go to Ephesians 2:11. To 22, the Passion Translation, and then we'll pray in a short while. Today is Friday, and we are meeting here tomorrow at 6 a.m. Oh, I didn't know that. Now you know. It's our last trumpet, so to speak. I don't say last trumpet, but we give the devil a black eye completely, crush his head around here as we walk around marching, the victory march. Early in the morning. Now, this is a bit of, it's lengthy. But go with me. I'll do it a little bit faster. I may wrap a little bit, but that's fine, okay? Now, I want you to see your place in this. So, don't forget that you are one. So don't forget that you are not born as Jews, okay? So, I'm not saying that you start becoming now Jewish. We are not born as Jews. And were uncircumcised. Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hand. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You are foreigners to Israel, incredible heritage. You are without the covenants and prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and without God. That was your condition before you came to Christ. You are without God. Yet, look at you now. Come on now, I see you. Look at you now. Everything is new. Hallelujah. Although you are once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to Him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. Woo! What a gift. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. Hallelujah. You remember that covenant I was talking about of natural people? How much more of this one? It cannot be broken. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious blood on the cross. Even your ethnic hatred has been dissolved. It's already dissolved. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed. Repealed? Is that repealed? By his command, his triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity. Jews and non-Jews fused together. Woo! Hallelujah. Shalom. You see, I can speak a little bit of Hebrew. Now look at this. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. Through his crucifixion, hatred died. Let's go to the next one. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who are distant, and to those who are near. And now, because you are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. When you go before the Father, he doesn't ask so. When you come Jaluo, ay we apan. Now we mgiriama njoapa. You see what happened over there? There isn't. Jews, non-Jews, you have access to the Father. Praise God, we are one. We're infused. We're fused together and we're one in Christ. And then verse 19. So you are not foreigners or guests. Come on now. But rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones. You are just saying, amen, amen. Did you hear that? So you're not foreigners or guests, but rather you're the children of the city of the holy ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Do scriptures mean anything to you? Those things you read and you get excited. Now look at this, what goes on. He said, are we done? You are rising. Oh, come on. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple. And your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles who are what? Jews. And all the prophets who are what? Jews. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. And you can shout, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God. Oh, okay, you still have. Oh, man, I thought you were done. So you're about to shout more hallelujahs. The entire building is under construction. When I look at your forehead, you're written under construction. That's exactly what it means. The entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. Woo! Hallelujah. This means that God is transforming each one of you. Come on now. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Hallelujah. This is our victory. Hallelujah. Sure, we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, church, quickly. Why do we pray for Israel? Some of the reasons. Through Abraham, we've received the blessing of God. Two, through the God of the Hebrew, we've received salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, we honor our heritage. Four, they are coming to Christ's great riches to the church and the world. Oh, that's five. For it is the plan of God to save the Jewish people because of his covenant. For 5, their coming to Christ is great riches to the church and to the world. 6, they believe there's never been a better time for them to come to the Lord in multitudes than it is now. 7, praying for Israel is a divine command from God. Of course, it's a divine command to the church. Finally, brethren, before we pray, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. The Passion Translation. So how am I going to pray? Let me show you how you're going to pray. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weaknesses. For example, at times you don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. Gido breshte branden geste deke store shte manere deke stayenda. What are we praying for? Let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. He's not confused. We are praying for Israel. You pray in tongues. You speak in utterance by the Holy Spirit for Israel. And we've had some of those, you know, the things that I've shared with you. You can pray them with understanding, and God will enlighten you. And in the beginning of this service, I pray this: Lord, flood our eyes with light. I pray, I believe for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these few minutes, that you may receive some insight concerning the will of God for Israel. Please don't just settle for less. Just believe God to hear. Believe God to hear. Believe God for, listen, the encounters. I pray that there be such a Holy Spirit outpouring even upon our children, that they visit the heavens of heavens. Amen. Stand up on your feet, please. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord God of Israel, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let's lift our hands together, please. The Lord God of Israel, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, we have come into your house this evening to honor our heritage, to honor the Jewish people from whom we have received covenants, from whom we have received the blessing of God, and from whom we have come to know Yeshua, the Son of God. We choose, Father, to honor what you honor. You honor covenant, and your covenant will you not break nor alter the thing that has come out of your mouth. So we have come, Father, to pray for the Jewish people, that your will be done in that nation, even as it is in heaven. We align ourselves with plans and purposes and things that we cannot articulate even in our natural language. But you have given us your Holy Spirit. We are asking you, Father, for the outpouring of your purposes and of your will in this gathering this evening. We are asking you for utterance from heaven. We are asking you for an open heaven, Father. The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Redeemer. Lord, thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. These are the times, these are the days that you are pouring out your Spirit upon your people and lifting up your church to remove blindness, that we may see our heritage, that we may see our error, and we humble ourselves and ask you, Father, to forgive us for every hatred to the Jewish people. Every hatred to the Jewish people. Every hatred that has spilled out of the church to the Jewish people and not standing with your heritage, Father, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to cleanse us from all that hatred towards the Jewish people. Lord, we call upon your name. Lord of hosts of the armies of Israel, we call upon your name this evening. Ingiando mareste mandaya dasta. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and be free, please, to move around. Sekidasa, sekidasa, sekigida mandashtayada. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Before we pray together in agreement in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David is coming before Goliath. Verse 45, it says that David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." The God of the armies of Israel has never changed. He's the Lord of hosts. Yeah, the Lord of the God of the armies of Israel. And there's another one. I think because of time, I'll just get into that. Do you see that? Seth, I'll ask you to come and pray for that, for the IDF. If you can come over here, I want you to pray for IDF. We pray for those people, IDF and reservists, and calling upon the God of the armies of Israel. Anyone who's heard something from the Lord has spoken to you, do you want to share with us? Anyone? You have something, Miss Ruth? Can you have the microphone, please, over?
Place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering. So I believe as we were praying and believing God for the cleansing and for their hearts to turn to God, the glory is being revealed, that they may come to the saving grace.
You'll pray that.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and pray that, and then you'll give that to his innocent.
Okay.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, Father, we thank you.
Join together, please? Mm-hmm. Just join together.
Let me also declare this scripture that also came to my spirit as we were praying. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27 says, "Then I will sprinkle purifying water over you, and you will be cleansed from all the filth of your past. I will wash you clean from the defilement of worshiping false gods. I will graciously give you a new tender heart and put a new willing spirit inside you. I will remove your hard heart of stone and give you an obedient, responsive heart instead. I will put my spirit in you to empower you to keep my laws and to live by them." So, Father, this evening, all of us join our faith together. As the scripture tells us in Psalm 2 that ask of me for the nations and I will give them for your inheritance. Tonight you have reminded us that in Christ we have been put together as brethren with the Jewish nation. And so, Lord, we are asking for them tonight. We are asking for the turning of their hearts. We are asking for the veil to be removed. We are asking for their hearts to be tenderized. That out of the hearts of stone, O God, you will give them a heart of, hearts of flesh, hearts that are plausible, hearts that can hear the voice of God, hearts that can hear the knocking of the Lord over their of the tabernacles of their heart. So we're declaring tonight, O Lord our God, a stirring of the hearts of the Jewish people, wherever they find themselves in the nations of the world. We are declaring an awakening in the spiritual realm. We are declaring a hunger and a thirst for the voice of God. And the Bible tells us that your voice is thundering. It's not just on a choir. Not only is it visiting them in their night, but they can hear it clearly, O Lord our God. So we are declaring a cleansing. We are declaring a falling of false worship, worship of wealth, and worship of whatever form it is, O God. We declare in the name of Jesus a return to the God of the Hebrews, a return to the God of their salvation, a return to the honor of God. In the name of Jesus tonight, we are declaring everyone that your word says that is left alive in Jerusalem, they hear the voice of the Lord, they hear the word of God. You're calling them, O Lord our God, out of the dark and into the glory of your presence. That's why Mark will remind us when Jesus was speaking and saying, at last the fulfillment of the age has come, and it is time for us to experience the glory of the Lord in his fullness. So we declare, O Lord our God, together that the nation of Israel, the Jews, wherever they find themselves, that they are experiencing the calling of the Lord, the promptings of the Lord, the word of God that is so freely, that word completes and says that they can come to the hope of the gospel-filled hope, O Lord our God. Whatever they are looking for can only be satisfied by finding Jesus, the Messiah. So today we declare, they see the Messiah, they know the Messiah, they receive the revelation of who Jesus Christ is into their hearts, and we call them home. We call them home. We call them to the saving grace. We call them to the revelation of who Jesus is. We call them to know who you are, our Lord God, the revealer of the mysteries that they are ever looking for, that is right before you in the word of God. So today we declare much salvation, harvest of souls in the Jewish nation, to the glory and honor of your wonderful name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Master,
thank you, Lord. Father, we continue to thank you. You are the Lord of the army of Israel. We come to you this evening, Lord, thanking you for your mercy, thanking you, Lord, for the things that you've enabled them to do, oh Lord. Thank you for turning things around from October the 7th until now. We thank you for the strength that you've been able to give them, Almighty God. Lord, we thank you that the eyes of the understanding being enlightened, that they are able to see that those that are with them are the majority, O Lord. Father, we thank you for strengthening them, for the ability to recover, to go ahead and to recover in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you for the strength upon strength, O Lord. Lord, we even thank you for the armies, oh Lord, the generals of the army. We thank you for the President Netanyahu, oh Lord, when they sit down and they strategize, Almighty Father, Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord is leading that strategy in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the victories that is ahead of them, Almighty Lord. And Father, Lord, we thank you that nations are coming to support in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we are not going to forget, oh Lord. We thank you even where the patterns of thoughts, oh Lord, that has been formed in the minds of believers concerning whatever has happened is being moved out in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for three-stranded cord that is not easily broken in the armies, in the general's mind, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for strength upon strength in the president's mind, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that he is not going to be distracted at this mighty at this particular time, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because, Lord, you are giving him victory, Lord. We thank you that you are the Lord of army of Israel, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're giving them victory in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for strength upon strength, victory upon victory, in the mighty name of Jesus. Reso toroboshe kararanti, rakasanto roboshe kererenta, raso toroboshe kararanti. Lord, we thank you, Father Lord, that the enemy that is defiling the name of the Lord, Lord, is defeated in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your word shall stand. Israel shall stand. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that the enemies that surround Israel, they will fall down, but the name, that the word of the Lord shall continue to stand in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father Lord, for lifting up Israel in the name of Jesus. We thank you for lifting them up in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for strength upon strength. We continue to bless your holy name because you've already given them victory in this particular time, oh Lord. And they will come and know that Yeshua is their Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory for the things that you're doing for them. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and we give you glory. Amen and amen, oh Lord. Reso toroboshia.
Linglindi mando stemo koshe de bandasta. Langangala stesh tembrope, sebro mangingi nanga stekish danda mandesa. Sakekeda kanda mastede. For they shall be the turning of the church towards the nation of Israel. And there will be a close need as the church lifts up her voice to call out my name and do my will in praying for the people of Israel. For there will be the outpouring of my glory upon the church. The deceptions that have existed before have been removed by my spirit. And the blindness that has existed before in the church is being removed by my spirit, so that they may see their heritage. They may proclaim my name, and they may know that they have come from the roots of the Jewish people. And through this, we shall know the blessing of God in the church. There shall be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There shall be high levels of prosperity because of the blessing of Abraham. That which has been known as poverty in the church shall be removed because people have known their true heritage and they have started rising up to bless the name of the God of Israel. For this will happen and many shall come into the kingdom of God. And my spirit shall move upon the hearts of the church leaders. And they will speak my oracles. They will speak my utterances concerning my will for the Jewish people, says the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ginginda mashte. Gingenda mande seshde. Sekikinda ngarashte bokosede. Remangesa. Shanda mangroshe de bakasada. A new generation rising up. A new generation that sees clear. Clear concerning my purposes and my will for Israel. A new generation that is rising up that shall embrace my people and shall stand with my people, and they shall pray for my people, and they shall be the outpouring of my spirit upon the church. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I sense that prosperity. Father, we repent right now for the sins of the church, especially the sin of the church of not standing with Israel, of folding her hands when Israel needed her help. We repent this sin, Father, in the church. We repent of false doctrines, teachings that have gone forth concerning Israel, the replacement teachings. We repent of that, Father. And every word that has come from any pulpit of the church to speak against the people of Israel, we repent of that, Father. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to forgive the church. Even during this time, Father, where we have withheld our voices in being vocal to condemn terrorism, to condemn the attack of the Jewish people, where we have hesitated not to speak and to be heard by the world, Father, we ask you to forgive us as the church. We choose to stand and declare your will. We choose to stand and pray for your heritage. We choose to stand and be a blessing to your heritage in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We ask you, Father, for the outpouring of your Spirit upon the Jewish people. We ask you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit even in Gaza Strip, Father. Again, we agree for that which the devil meant for evil in destroying the Jewish people. You are turning it for their good. You are turning it for their good. You are the same God of Joseph. You've never changed. You're turning everything for their good. You are the same God who spoke to David and he said, pursue them, overtake them, and recover all. You are the same who spoke those words. You are the same, Father. Therefore, we speak the same words over Israel concerning their hostages, that they pursue, they overtake the enemy, and they recover all in the name of Jesus. Father, guide the IDF. Guide the Prime Minister Netanyahu. Guide his armies in the name of Jesus. Guide them, Father, and to remove the enemy and speak and do your will in bringing out the hostages, Father. Father, thank you for your mercy. Father, we ask you to forgive us as a nation, nation of Kenya, where we have not stood with Israel and for Israel. We ask you to forgive us, Father, where we have compromised our stand towards Israel. We ask you, Father, to forgive us. We humble ourselves before you. We ask you to forgive us, Father, and cleanse us, and for your blessing to be upon this nation, to rise up and be a blessing to the nation of Israel. Father, we thank you. Would you just thank you? It's because of his mercy. It's because of his grace. Go ahead and lift your voice and thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, this being our last gathering during this prayer and fasting time, we want to lift up thanksgiving for every revelation, for every prayer that we have made in the name of Jesus, for the help of your Spirit, Father, in praying out your will, in speaking out your utterances, in declaring your will, Father, of our nation, over this area and garden estate, Dome, and surrounding areas, in speaking your will concerning Israel, even as we've done this evening. Father, we return to you with thanksgiving. In strengthening each and every single person that have woken up early to pray, 3 o'clock to 5 a.m., every strength you've given to us, Father, we acknowledge you. We honor you. We magnify your name. Father, thank you for every barrier that you have broken in this prayer and fasting time. Every barrier that has been broken in the name of Jesus. Every utterance by your Spirit. Father, we position ourselves to see the best year ever. To ride in high places according to your will. According to your written will, Father. That we shall ride in high places. Father, you know every single person. You know the sacrifices that they have given out. You know the things that they have done. You said, you who sees in secret shall reward them openly. Father, thank you for rewards. Thank you for rewards according to every sacrifice that have been given unto you. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. We praise him. Hallelujah. We praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, our God. We praise you, our God. We praise you, our God, for your good and your mercy endures forever. We praise you, Father, and magnify the great name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise.